السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Radio Islam International this Friday, November the 30th, 2018 with myself, Zunaida Musa Wadiwala on the Good Reads program. It is Gustave Flaubert in his book, Madame Bovary, who said, Travel makes one modest. You see what a tiny place you occupy in the world. And it is John Green who said, I'm in love with cities I've never been to and people I've never met. So as we approach the months of December and January, which is traditionally the season for traveling, I've taken the liberty of compiling reviews on books which are guaranteed to fuel your wanderlust. And I invite you to journey with me for the next 2 months as I will be talking travel on the Good Reads program, specifically discussing Muslim sites and places of interest, highlighting the spread of Islam in the areas covered in the books and how many towns from these areas became great centers of Islamic culture, education and learning. For today, I will cover Spain, Egypt and North Africa, so stay tuned. As usual, at the end of my program, I like to finish up with some inspiration, and on the Zoomperation slot for today, I have some tips regarding finding and becoming a good friend. Because, let's face it, we all need at least one good friend whose bond we are certain of no matter what. So on to the Goodreads slot. The title of the book for today, Muslim Sites and Places of Interest, Spain, Egypt and North Africa. There are two authors for this book. The first is Maulana Dr. Yunus Osman, the second Dr. Farooq Ahmad, and pictures in this book were provided by Zakira Osman, the youngest daughter of Maulana Dr. Yunus Osman. The book was published in July 2007, corresponding to Jamaad al-Akhir, 1428 Hijri, and was published by Dar al-Ihsan Islamic Services Center in Durban, South Africa. Now, Maulana Dr. Yunus Osman is no stranger to writing good, quality Islamic literature. And if you recall, one of my earlier book reviews on this Goodreads program was The Life and Works of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri by the same Maulana Dr. Yunus Osman. So while that was an excellently presented biography, this book is an excellently presented and well-researched book to inspire those traveling. I think that knowing history and places of importance can make all the difference in your travels. So from the late 7th century, Muslims began to move westwards to counter the continuous threat from the Roman Empire. This led to their settling in areas of North Africa and Egypt. From these areas, they moved across the Mediterranean into Spain and parts of southern Europe. Muslims established themselves and ruled Spain for the next eight centuries, until their final expulsion in 1492 by the Christians of the North. The influence and the culture that they left behind has still survived and had also led to the Renaissance in Europe. Unfortunately, most, if not all, of Muslim legacy has been destroyed in Spain by the Christians. To be wholly honest, I wish that I had read this book before my own visit to Spain. The author, in his introduction, explains that this book, and I quote from him, this book is a humble effort to enlighten the travelers of the great legacy and influence left behind by the Muslims. This work is based on personal experiences and research by the authors. And it is the hope of the authors that the travelers will find this booklet informative, educating, and that it inspires them to rekindle the love for the culture of Islam and its lofty spirit of inquiry. The first part of the booklet then is dedicated to travels within Spain. We learn that in July 710, Tariq ibn Ziyad landed on the southernmost step of Europe, which was named after him, Tarifa. In 711, in response to helping Count Julian of Ceuta, he landed at a mighty rock which was named after him as well, Jabal Tariq or Gibraltar. The book then discusses the significance of Tarifa, the little fishing town which was the first point of Muslim entry into southern Spain in 711. I really enjoy the framework within this book because it includes in its discussion of an important place some additional relevant historical anecdotes, and obviously best explained by means of an example, which I will quote for you. Local fishermen still use the Almadrara method of fishing, using a circle of boats and nets, a practice which has not changed since the Muslim era. Unquote. The descriptions included in this book are also part of the masterpiece Into This Journey. And once again, I will quote for you as an example. The narrow cobbled streets, tumbling jasmine, and beautiful wrought iron rajahs make the old town of Tarifa a charming place. The original castellated city walls built by the Muslims are tightly woven into the fabric of the whitewashed houses. Unquote. The book does provide pictures of some of the relevant sites. Unfortunately, these are in monochrome, but are clear enough nevertheless. Then follows a long list of places and sites of significance, which makes for gripping reading if you are not currently planning a trip to Spain, or for invaluable knowledge which will enhance your trip tenfold if you are planning a trip anytime soon. For those who have always wondered what is meant by commonly heard terms such as Granada, the Alhambra, Cordoba or Cordoba, then this book is a must read to widen your knowledge of geography and understand, or rather to expand your understanding of history. The Escurial Library near Madrid contains about 2,000 Arabic manuscripts that survived the destruction of Muslim Spain. Some Christian rulers between 1556 to 1598 collected these surviving manuscripts from the various Muslim libraries of Andalusia, and this collection formed the nucleus of the library. In the early 17th century, the Sultan of Morocco, Sharif Zaidan, was fleeing his capital, and he sent his library of about 3,000 books aboard a ship. The ship was captured by Spanish pirates, and the books were deposited in this library by the order of Philip III. This edition made the library one of the richest in Arabic manuscripts. Honestly, it pained me that I was right there and missed visiting this library. The discussion on Spain concludes with an overview of Muslim Spain and the great legacy in Spain during their rule. What I really loved was the author's inclusion here of a few books to read in Arabic on the history of Spain and Europe. The book then discusses Turkey and some important places to visit in Istanbul and Konya. But I will be doing a Goodreads program with extensive detail on travel in Turkey very soon, inshallah. So keep listening if Turkey is on your agenda anytime soon. The authors then discuss Egypt, the country which has been regarded as the land of the pharaohs and has a recorded history that goes back to 5,000 years. The book provides an insight to 11 historical masajid of Cairo by name and along with a snippet of relevant information. It then settles onto a series of places of interest which are a must-see when you visit Egypt. Very interestingly, the discussion concludes with a list of Sahaba and scholars buried in Cairo. A little bit of information on Tunisia and then Morocco is then provided next. For me personally, I'm just picturing the beautiful Arabic calligraphy to be seen in these places. And I'd like to share with you a story I recall about the famous American calligrapher, Muhammad Zakaria, who is now in his 80s. And he says that when he was in his 20s, during the 1980s, then he had traveled to Morocco from California for a holiday. And he was so drawn to an ayat of the Quran, which was scripted in beautiful calligraphy, that it led to him embracing Islam and spending years traveling between Turkey and the United States of America to eventually be given the ijazah of master calligrapher. Fez, Rabat, Marrakesh, and other important places to visit are highlighted as well. And Algeria is the last destination in North Africa which is discussed briefly towards the end of this book. And it talks about the areas which came under Muslim rule during the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So please join me on my next program when I will be talking travel with important Muslim sites and places of interest in Central Asia, China, and Russia. And that takes us right over onto our Zoomspiration slot today, and the importance of being and having good friends. Because we are in an age where free things are slowly disappearing, and the things that are bound to bargaining and bartering are many. This situation makes people feel fearful and stressful, forcing them to seek relationships in the direction of a humanitarian nature and charity. They find such relationships in brotherhood and sincere friendship. Life today is very much like a grazing desert. A sincere friend in such a place is very much like the beautiful breeze, the fine shade, and the drop of cold dew. A friend is like health for the body, light for the eye, and beautiful sound for the ear. So what then are the characteristics of a good friend? How can a person be a good friend? The first step in choosing a friend is to be a good and pious person yourself. One should benefit from the companionship of his friend, acquire some of his morals, and seek shelter with him during crisis and difficult times. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, "The example of a good friend and the evil friend is like the musk carrier and the person who blows to start a fire. The musk carrier either would give you or you purchase from him, or else you would smell a nice fragrance from him. As for the bellower, he would either burn your clothes or else you would smell a bad smell from him." So, please beware of evil and bad companions. Beware of those who have no high hopes, aspirations, and expectations. The effect of a bad friend is much greater than what you think. Do not look at a friend as a source of benefit. Rather, look at him as a source of guidance, good company, and as a reward from Allah the Almighty. There are always few people who are qualified to be befriended for many reasons. Therefore, it was reported of Umar radiallahu anhu that he said, "If a person found good affection of one of his brethren, let him hold tight to him, as it is very rare that one would have such a good feeling." Many complain about having only a few friends due to their great desire to have many truthful and sincere friends. This, in fact, is difficult to have. At times, one would not have a super friend because he himself is not a super person. Some tips, then. Make your friends feel that they can rely and depend upon you during times of crisis and hardships. Make them feel that they can seek your help, aid, and assistance without any bother to you. Make them feel that they do not have to worry about being reminded later of your favors to them. Make them feel that their secrets with you are fully protected, even if their relationship with you worsened. Also, overlook the minor mistakes of your friends. Cover their defects. Decrease the amount of blame as much as you can. How beautiful is the following poem explaining this meaning? "Who would give me a person whom, if he was upset by me, would treat me with patience and perseverance?" Also, another tip, be good friends yourself and do not ask your friends to be so. Expecting a reward from a friend is a breach and violation for the meaning of friendship. Friendship is like a dear feeling that requires watering, protection, and care. Otherwise, you will lose it. You should take from your friends exactly what you would give them. you should enjoy their best gestures exactly as they would enjoy yours. I do hope you enjoyed spending time in my company today as much as I enjoyed being in yours. If you would like a copy of the book, Muslim Sites and Places of Interest, Spain, Egypt, and North Africa, then please contact Al Ihsan Bookshop, a wing of Dar Al Ihsan Humanitarian Center, located in Tikau Lake and Overport, Durban, the Korea countrywide. Call them on 031-577-7868 or WhatsApp on 084-401-1527. You can visit their website www.alihsanbookshop.co.za. That's all I have time for today. Please remember me in your special du'as. Ma'as-salama fi amanillah.